Wasn't that neat, hearing those testimonies? Hopefully you're blessed by that. It's encouraging to me. Hopefully it was encouraging to you as well. It's clearing me a space, no big deal. Turn with me to Romans. Hopefully you can find Romans by now. Romans chapter 14, we continue our study. Do me a big favor, do yourself even a bigger favor. Put your watches away. Don't even look at the clock, don't sweat it. Let's just take some time to study God's Word. How about that? Romans chapter 14, we continue to look at personal convictions. Today we look at the purpose of personal convictions. Remember the definition, personal convictions answer those questions, or that question, does it please God? When we're faced with issues that may not be so clearly outlined in Scripture in black and white. Those issues we call sin. When we're not sure if it's sin, we ask the question, does it please God? If those gray areas, as we so speak, so say, and we ask the question, does it please God? And a personal conviction is a convinced state of mind with the intent to commit. Personal conviction. Would you stand with me as we read God's Word? Let's start with verse 1 of chapter 14. Now accept the one who is weak in faith, but not for the purpose of passing judgment on his opinions. One person has faith that he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats vegetables only. The one who eats is not to regard with contempt the one who does not eat, and the one who does not eat is not to judge the one who eats, for God has accepted him. Who are you to judge the servant of another? To his own master he stands or falls, and he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One person regards one day above another, another regards every day alike. Each person must be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day observes it for the Lord, and he who eats does so for the Lord, for he gives thanks to God. And he who eats not for the Lord, he does not eat and gives thanks to God. Verse 7, for not one of us lives for himself, and not one dies for himself. For if we live, we live for the Lord, or if we die, we die for the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. Let's pray. Father God, what a joy it is to be able to freely meet and read and study your word, the very words of God Almighty in our hands. What a privilege, what an honor. Father, thank you for allowing us to be able to meet and fellowship together freely. And Father, I pray that your Spirit will go before your words and prick our hearts. Your Spirit will convict us of sin, draw us to you, conform us to the image of Christ for your glory and your honor. For you alone are worthy. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. February 8th, 1981. February 8th, 1981, my first official date with Kim, who became my wife a few years later. Man, you know how it is when you fall in love and head over heels with somebody. I spent all my money, all my time, all my energy on her. Why? To make her happy, man. To please her. That's my growth. My love grew for Kim, again, my soon-to-be or later-to-be wife. Man, I was head over heels, and I worked, and I spent all the money I could on her. And when it came time to choose a restaurant, whatever you like, dear, you choose. Whatever makes you happy. Time to choose a movie, where to go, what to go see, whatever you want, dear. Man, I just love you. I just want to please you and make you happy. She's over there saying, my, how time has changed. Guys, you know how it is, though, when you're head over heels and you're in love, man. Love motivates. It motivates our actions, doesn't it? So it does with our relationship with Christ in our text this morning. So let's look at it. Verse 5. Paul continues to give another example of these gray areas where we need to look into Scripture and develop principles and come up with a personal conviction. One issue here was the Sabbath. Verse 5, one person regards one day above another. Another regards every day alike. Actually, at one point with the new believers, the new church, the early church, the issue was over the Sabbath. Traditionally, in the Old Testament, of course, the Saturday was the Sabbath, was the day set aside. And the new believers, Christ fulfilled the law. The new believers, out of honor for the risen Savior, said, you know what, we're going to set aside Sunday. And then, you know, some issues arose. Is that right? Is that wrong? Now, with the church at Rome at this time, it wasn't that big of an issue, but Paul just got through saying and telling us the example over meat. Remember that? Some of the Jews in the church of Rome were hung up on the Old Testament clean and unclean food. Some of the non-Jews, the Gentile in the church at Rome, they were hung up on this meat, cheap, discounted meat that had been offered to pagan idols, and they thought they shouldn't touch it. Others thought, hey, it's just being a wise steward with God's money. I can get some meat on the cheap, and we'll eat it. And that was the issue of the day. But he brings up the other issue, an older issue, of which day to celebrate or recognize, observe the Sabbath. As an example. Of course, note they did observe a day. It was just a matter of which one they did. The whole point of the example is the second sentence in verse 5. Each person must be fully convinced in his own mind. That's the definition of personal conviction, a convinced state of mind with the intent to commit. So Paul throws out one more example for us of these quote-unquote gray areas. In verse 6, we see the purpose of the personal convictions. Follow along with me. He who observes the day observes it for the Lord, and he who eats does so for the Lord, for he gives thanks to God. And he who eats not for the Lord, he does not eat and gives thanks to God. So why do people observe the Sabbath on Saturday over Sunday? Why do they eat meat over not eating meat? What are the reasons for doing that? I just feel like it. It's convenient. I like meat, so I eat meat. The ball games are on Saturday. I feel like I'm a little more spiritual. My neighbors think I'm a little more spiritual if I don't eat meat. Is that the reason? Maybe I'm just a slave to the Old Testament law. Maybe, well, you know, all the other folks are doing it. I guess I should do it as well. What are the reasons for personal convictions? What are the reasons to have personal convictions? Why are we to have a personal conviction? Look at the text. Look at the phrase, for the Lord. It's in this verse 3 times. It's in our text this morning 5 times. For the Lord. He who observes the day observes it for the Lord. And he who eats does so. Why? For the Lord. For he gives thanks to God. And he who eats not, why does he eat not? For the Lord. He does not eat and give thanks to God. The purpose of personal convictions for the Lord, to please God. We're to seek to please him. Growing Christians don't look for loopholes in the rule book. Growing Christians seek to please God. There are a lot of do's and don'ts in Scripture, clearly written in black and white. Sin, not sin. We're commanded to be holy, for God is holy. We're not. We still struggle with sin. You've heard testimonies about struggling with sin. I have put my trust in Jesus Christ. God has his Spirit, his Holy Spirit, promised and dwelled in me, a sign, a seal that I'm his. And I have the power not to sin. But I still struggle with Chip. in my flesh, my human nature, my sinful nature. And I struggle with that. Sometimes I give in to the I wants and I sin. Hopefully, as we grow in Christ, we sin less and obey more, and we say, not my will, but God's will be done. I obey you, God. And with the gray areas, with the personal convictions, the purpose of those is to please God, because we strive to please God because we love Him. For the sake of Christ, for His glory and honor and His great pleasure. Out of love. That's why when we're not sure it's a sin or not, we take the time and trouble to prayerfully consider what pleases God. The personal conviction. We please God in all aspects of our life, Colossians 1:10. In all aspects, we strive to please Him. Let's look at verse 7. We see a little more motive, a little deeper purpose. For not one of us lives for himself, and not one dies for himself. Verse 8. For if we live, we live for the Lord, or if we die for the Lord. Did you get that? Our whole life is supposed to be for the Lord. Not just one day out of seven. Not just a list of rules to check off. Am I good? Got that covered? Got this covered? Did this? Did that? Didn't do that? Our whole life. The purpose of our whole life. I don't care who you are, where you live, who your daddy is, what your job is. Your whole purpose of your whole life is for the Lord. That's the purpose. It's the reason we get out of bed in the morning. You ever had days you don't want to get out of bed? Get out of the shower? I'm sad, I'm depressed, I'm lonely, I don't feel like it. Man, we're living for the wrong reasons. We get out of bed because today is for the Lord. I don't want to go to work. I hate work. I hate my job. I hate my boss, he's a jerk. I don't want to go to work. We're going to work for the wrong reasons, then, aren't we? We go to work for the Lord. Our whole life is for the Lord. We engage life for the Lord. I don't feel like serving. I don't want to serve. We serve for the Lord. I don't feel like telling another person about Christ. I want to go through that hassle. We do it anyway. Why? Because our whole life as a born-again Christian is for the Lord. That's the purpose. Whatever we face each day, we face it head on for the Lord. Does that change your perspective? It helps me. You know what my job is, and I love it. Some days I don't want to get out of bed, get out of the shower. I got to check my motive, my purpose. It's for the Lord. We strive to please God in all aspects of our life. Colossians 1:10. Why do we live that way? Why do we please God? Why do we live for the Lord? Let's keep reading and see what God has to say. Let's continue in verse 8. For if we live, we live for the Lord. If we die for the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are what? We're the Lord's. We are the Lord's. We belong to Him. We're His. We get out of bed because we're His. We go to work because we're His. We live for Him. We strive to please Him because we're His. Turn back a few chapters in Romans to chapter 8 with me. Chapter 8, verse 15. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again. Paul is talking to born-again Christians. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father. Abba is Aramaic. It literally means Papa, It's that term of endearment that children call their father. Abba, Father. Verse 16, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God, and of children, heirs also, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. We are his. We're his children. He's our father. He adopted us. We live a life committed to God for the purpose of pleasing God. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians. Other side of Romans. Next book over. Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. May be familiar to some of you. Verse 15. We'll start with verse 15. 1 Corinthians 6, 15. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take away the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? May it never be. Or do you not know that the one who joins himself to a prostitute is one body with her? For he says, the two shall become one flesh. But the one who joins himself to the Lord is one spirit with him. Flee immorality. Every other sin that a man commits is outside the body, but the immoral man sins against his own body. Verse 19. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? You've heard that, haven't you? Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? Verse 20. For you have been bought with a price. For you have been bought with a price. For you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. We're not our own, are we? We ask these questions. We make these commitments. Convinced state of mind with the intent to commit, because we want to live a life for the Lord, because we want to please him, and because we're his. He bought us with a price. What was the price he paid? What was the price that God paid? Absolutely. Let's turn to 1 Peter. See if Heather's right. 1 Peter, keep digging to the right. Hebrews, James, 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. We've read 14, 15, and 16 several times. It's the be holy for I am holy passage. Now we're going to look at 17, 18, and 19. 1 Peter 1, 17. If you address as Father the one who impartially judges according to each one's work, conduct yourself in fear during the time of your stay on earth. That's encouraging, isn't it? Verse 18, knowing that you were not redeemed. Redeemed. What's that mean? Bought back. Redeemed. It's almost like a coupon. Buy one, get one free. You redeem it by turning in the coupon. Christ redeemed us, purchased us back. Back? Because we're on our way for wrath. And the punishment that we earned because we have broken God's laws. Knowing that you were redeemed, how? With what? With knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life, inherited from your fathers. That's the before Christ. Verse 19, but how will we redeem? But with precious blood as of a lamb, unblemished and spotless. The blood of Christ. We're redeemed with the precious, sinless, perfect blood of Christ. God Almighty in flesh. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Christ Jesus showed up. Why? To redeem us. Because we're not righteous. That's the whole theme of Romans. Remember, God is righteous, just, holy, loving, and we're none of those things. And sin separates us from a holy God. We can't measure up to a standard. I don't care how good you are. Man, it's great. We can compare ourselves to our neighbors all day long. We can compare ourselves to those folks on TV or the criminals on the news, and we feel pretty good about ourselves. I ain't that bad. I'm no axe murderer. But if I break one law, one rule of God, I'm a rule breaker. And God's a just judge. And we'll stand in front of the just judge, and he'll find us guilty of breaking rules. And if you do the crime, you got to do the time. A just judge sentenced us to punishment. Sin has to be paid for. Can't just be forgotten, swept under the rug. That's not a just judge. Has to be dealt with. Someone has to pay. It's either you pay or through repentance and trust, we can claim the redemption that comes through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Our substitute who came out of the crowd and said, I know Chip. He is a sinner. He's done wrong. He's broken your rules. I know he's guilty. I know somebody's got to pay for that sin, but I love Chip. Jesus loves you and says, I will pay that penalty. I'll do the time for Chip. I'll do the time for you. That's the love of Christ. And through his death, his burial, and resurrection, his blood pays for our sins. And if we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, our account's clean. Man, the line items of sin are still on the bill, but at the bottom, it's stamped paid in full by the precious blood of Christ. We are God's. He bought us with the precious blood of Christ. And for us born-again believers, that's why we please him. That's why we live for God, for Christ, for the Lord, because we belong to him. We wear his name. We strive to please him. Back to Romans chapter 14. As we close, does that help? I don't think that ever helps. Gives you hope that the end is near, right? As we close, Romans 14, verse 9. It's the last verse of the day. You know we got to be close. Romans 14, 9. Back to our text. For to this end Christ died and lived again, that he might be what? Lord both of the dead and of the living. For to this end, it's another reason why we live for the Lord. Because Jesus earned it. He earned it. He earned the right to be master, king, Lord of us. He's the master, we're the servant. It takes submission. It's hard to do. We like to think we're the master. We're not. We choose to please God because we want to live a life for the Lord, because we are his. He bought us with a price because he earned it. His sacrifice on our behalf. He earned the right to be Lord, and he alone is worthy. Turn back to Romans 6, a few more chapters. Romans 6, verse 17. Romans chapter 6, verse 17. But thanks be to God that though you were, past tense, slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart. Obedience comes first, not the feelings. Obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed, and having been freed from sin, You became what? Verse 18. Slaves of righteousness. Are you kidding me, man? Freedom in Christ. Absolutely. Free from the bondage of sin. But we're bought with the price. And we're slaves of righteousness. Does that characterize your life? Slave of righteousness? Let me just finish this sentence. Oh, don't finish this sentence. Put your name in there. Chip May, a life of blank. Put your name in there. Life of what? A life of being a slave to righteousness? I don't think so. Should be. Do we live for Christ, for the Lord? Do we please God in all aspects of our life? Look at verse 17 of the same chapter, Romans 6. But thanks be to God. But thanks be to God. That though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient. That's where I was. That's what these testimonies we've heard as these two men were baptized this morning. Thanks be to God, for this is where I was, slave to sin. Thanks. Yes, we're either living a life that pleases God or not please God. Yes, we live a life either for God or not for God. There's no middle ground. And yes, we are His. And yes, He bought us with a price. But our true motive in living a life for Him is love. Man, we're so grateful for what He has done that we love Him back the way He deserves. That we choose to please Him, even if it's not convenient, even if we're the only one doing it, even if it costs us time, money, energy, friends, promotions, popularity. We strive to please God. We're His, and we live for the Lord. We're grateful for God's love and His mercy and His grace and the provision of Christ as our substitute. And we are so grateful and so thankful. We choose to please Him. We don't look for loopholes in the rule book. We don't want to just do what we can get by with. We get out of bed to please Him. We live our life for the Lord. Do you love Jesus? Do you live for Him? Are you motivated out of love to please Him? What's the story of your life telling others? To scream to others for the Lord? A man lives for the Lord. Or does it scream to others? He lives for himself. Your actions, your behavior. Man, do you even know Him? Maybe you're like Sam, didn't even, you know, thought you were good when you're not. Or Mac, thought I was in when I wasn't.